ונמצא דם תחת אחת מהן, כולן תמאוס. בדקה אחת מהן, ונמצא תמאה, היא תמאה ושתיהן טהורות. So what's the idea? The idea is that when they're all in the same mita, so we have no choice but to say shlashtan tameos. But if we have any reason to be tolen one more than the other, so then we'll do so. So if one of them did a bedika, we'll assume she's the only one that's tamei, we'll attribute the kasem to her, and the others are toros, and likewise the reverse. If one of them did a bedika, she's tora, she'd be tora, the other two are tameos. That works until all three of them do bedikos. Then if all three of them are toros or tameos, then once again we have no choice but to be metame all three. Now the Gemara discusses how quickly you have to do the bedika. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ushabad ka'atma b'shir b'ases. As long as you checked yourself, she checked herself b'toch shir v'ases. Rashi says that means from the time that the kesem was discovered. What does that mean, kashir v'ases? Super immediately fast. Very, very quickly. We'll elaborate in a moment. Meaning to say, if she waits a couple minutes or maybe even a couple seconds after discovering the kesem before doing the bedika, so then we will not attribute the blood that was found to her. Why? Because maybe it came afterwards. In other words, she does a bedika, so going forward she's a nida. But does that tell us anything about the past? No. This is something new. In order to be machzik the dam that we discovered in the past to her, then a bedika has to be toch shir v'ases. And the Gemara says, "Savar la kibar pada, de amar kol shabayil b'chatas tarosah tameus." What does that mean? Anytime the husband is b'chatas, so that would mean if a man and a woman had bia, and then immediately after they have bia, she discovers dam. So we will assume that she was a nida at the time that they had the bia, and he'll be chay b'chatas. Bayil b'ashem talui. If it was a little bit later, so then we're not certain that she was Anita during Tashmish. Maybe she became Anita after Tashmish, or maybe she was Anita during Tashmish. So that warrants an Ashem Talui. It's a suffix. And Baila Pater, if it's even after that, so the husband will be Pater, we'll assume that the Dam came afterwards. She's a Cheskes Tara after all. And the husband won't be Chayv any Karban. So then Taros at Tehoros. Then we'll say the Taros are Taros. So meaning says as follows. If you do, the shear of Baila B'chatas is, like we said, is super immediate. That's what we call shear v'ases. As soon as he disengages from Tashmish, she checks herself, and the Gemara says not only that, but she couldn't even do a bedika that quickly, because it takes some time to do a bedika, proper bedika with Chorin V'stakin. By the time she finishes her bedika, the shear will have passed, so it means she does a kinuach. So she does a kinuach right away. So then we assume that she was anida during Tashmish, in which case he would be chay v'chatas. And in that case, we would say taroset tameus. In other words, we would burn the truma and the like. We would assume it's the taros or the kadshim are tameim vadayim. Bayil b'ashem talui, if we're uncertain. Excuse me. So then, Tarsa Tuluyos, in other words, we can't burn the kachim because we're not 100% sure, but we still won't eat them. And then, Baila Pater, then Tarsa Tuluyos. Rabbi, and fine. What's the shear of Ashem Talui, of Tarsa Tuluyos? So, that means she waited Kadesh Tered Minamita Vetadiach Paneha. The Gemara gives two different scenarios of this, if the medika cloth is under her pillow where she has to go down, but a couple of seconds, it would seem. Exactly how long this is, we're going to discuss a little bit later. The Ramak, what's arrived, we don't know exactly what it is, so we have to be machmir anytime it's samach. What samach means, again, we'll get to later, but a couple seconds later. Kadei sheteired minat mita v'tadiach paneha. Rav Oshi Amar, afilu baila b'chatas taroset tuluyos, which is interesting. Even if it's b'toch shir v'ases, taroset tuluyos. Why? Because we still can't be certain, and not in the case of Bia. In the case of Bia, obviously, we are certain. But there is a reason why the dam didn't come earlier, because of the Aver. But when it comes to Taros, so even if it's Tochshir Veses, still we don't know, right? What happened? She touched Taros, and 1/4 of 1 second later, she managed to do a Kinuach, right? But you still aren't sure. How do we know that she didn't become Anita during that 1/4 of a second, right? So, therefore, it's still a suffix. Fine. Now, there's a machlokas we've shown him over here, whether Rav Oshia disagrees with the application of bedikos in terms of being tola and the like. We'll get to that in a moment. So lemaisa, though, the question is, what do we paskin like? In other words, how quickly does this bedika need to be done in order to save her friends? So this is a big debate in the Rishonim. The view of the Ravid, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashba, Reni Ruchim, all hold b'toch shir veses, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Right, again, shir veses is b'yitzias hashamash nichnas ha'ed l'kaneach. However, the Rush is a little makel, more makel. He gives a longer period of time. He says that if she does a bedika even after shir veses, and it turns out bad, so her friends could be tola in her. Now, how long do you have? The Rush says we're more makel because ksamim yesh lesmocha Rav Oshia. In other words, the way the Rush understood the Gemara, which is not like Rashi, is that Rav Oshia disagreed. According to Rav Oshia, you'd have a longer period of time, and therefore le'inyan ksamim we could be makel. How long does the Rush give you is not clear. One way to read the Rush is to say that you have up to the medium shear, the shear of Ashem Taloi, right? Kadesha Terad Minamita, the Tekaneach Panea Shalmata. So the Rush is only giving you a couple more seconds, whatever exactly that shear is. Or you could argue, and this is, I think, the way the Sidrei Tara learns, that you have up to Me'es Leis. Why Me'es Leis? Very simple. Because the whole idea of Me'es Leis is that for up to 24 hours, we assume that the Kosle Beis HaRechem will hide the dam, right? In other words, why do we say that if she sees dam, will be metame the taharos that she touched up to 24 hours ago? Because maybe this dam that she's seeing now actually left her makor 24 hours ago. More than 24 hours ago, we're not choshesh. So same thing over here. If she does the bedika 18 hours after the discovery of the Kesem, so maybe we can't, you know, this dam that we're discovering now during the bedika actually left the makor 18 hours ago. We don't know for sure, but that's a possibility. Ksamim shomim lahakel, and therefore we'll also assume that she was already a nida when that Kesem came along, and therefore we're mako. And
what about saving herself? Would the Rush agree that it has to be?
Well, we're going to get there. Good, okay. Good question. Excellent question. And the Balamor is the third shita, and he makes a distinction. The Pashup shot is that within the first two views, schools of thought, there's no difference between a bedika tahora and tameya. Though what you're pointing out is that the logic of the Rush is understood by the Sidrei Tara might make only sense to save her friends, but not to save herself. But he doesn't make that distinction explicitly, which might work better with the first possibility we said in the Rush. But the Balamor does make a distinction. The Balamor says, Lahatzil chavrosea kashir vases, but lahatzil atzma filo lacharzman. So how do we paskin? So like we said, the Shulchan Aruch says we paskin like the Rambam. He writes, "V'hadit talinan be'osa shematza tameya l'tahir acheros, v'chein ha'adit mitarinan la'osa shematza tahora, dafka shekincha atzma be'ed shebiyad miyad tekef l'metzias adam." Only if she did a kinuach, he says kinuach, because like we said, there's not enough time to do a bedika kashir v'ases, so it's only if you did a kinuach immediately upon discovering the kasem.
It would be worse if you did
Yes, because then it wouldn't be a shir veses. So if you hold like the Rambam, you could only be tola in her if she does a bedika kshir vases. And if she actually did a bedika kshir vases.
That zman is based on when the aid comes out. Like why is it worth to do bedika?
The answer is because when you do a bedika, so the bedika, let's say, takes 5 seconds to do a bedika. Good. So this dam that you discovered in the bedika might have came out on second 5. But that doesn't help us. Because in order to make her to be told the kesem on her, we need to know she had dam in second 1. So kinuach shows us, but not a bedika. Avalam shasa kadeshir bedika, dainu kadesha tekaneach b'chayrin uvestakin. She waited the time needed to do a bedika. So then, ena bedika mo'elas latam'a l'taher ha'acheres. V'lo l'tahora l'taher atzma. So the Shulchan Aruch is not machalik. Bein tumla bein tahara. You need to do, seemingly, a kinuach toch shir vases. So Rikki Vager says, 1 second. V'davka shekincha atzma be'ed. Nirad zehu rak b'matza temeya im badka. Dilma lo ba'adam miyad mamish. U'mishum hachi bai davka kincha. When is it that we insist davka on the kinuach? That's when her bedika is bad to save her friends, right? And for the reason that we just explained, right, to Dani, which is that if it's any later, it might mean that she became a surah later. Avala inyan badko matza tahira gam badka mehani kevan de matza tahira yadua de mitchilas habedika shehayim miyad hitahira. But to save herself, then a bedika would be fine. Now, there's even though when you read the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like in both directions, it's dafka kinuach, says Rabbi Kiviger, that doesn't make any sense. Because in order to save herself, what do we need? We need to know that during the entire period of the bedika, she was tahara. So let's say instead of doing the kinuach, she did the bedika, right? So there's no possibility that she was, there was dam on, the bedika takes 5 seconds. There was dam on second 1, and then there was no dam on second 5, because then the bedika cloth would have come out dirty. Right? When you do a bedika, what that tells you is, again, if it takes 5 seconds to do the bedika, at the very least it tells you that over the course of those 5 seconds, there was no dam at all. And therefore, if she did a bedika right away and it came out to Hoira, then she should be saved from that kesem. That's what Rabbi Kiviger says. Uve'emes kashali menalan del inyan matza tahira sagi bekincha. So the first point he says, so when the Shulchan Aruch says kinuach, it would mean bedika latar atzma, and then he wonders, well, how do I even know that kinuach would work at all to be matahir herself? Dilma ba'inan bedika mamish kamo kol bediko shein levarer shi tahira detzrichim bedika gemura v'tzarchian. Meaning to say, we're going to have a chance to study this matter more comprehensively soon, but what's the reason why we generally say kinuach is not enough and you need a bedika for whatever it is, for shivinikim or for veses? Why can't you just do a kinuach? So the simple understanding is, now maybe this shows that that's wrong, but the simple understanding is that a kinuach doesn't really tell us for sure that there's no dam, because you don't do a kinuach b'chorin v'stakin. So, kinuach is not definitive proof that there's no dam inside of her. Because maybe there was dam b'chorin v'stakin, and since you only did a kinuach, you didn't discover it. So why is it that we could even be mekel? The Shulchan Aruch says, if she does a kinuach right away, and she's tahora, then she'll remain tahora, and the other two ladies will be tameya. Right? Because we'll be Tol and the other two ladies. Or if two of them do a kinuach, then those two will be Toros and the third lady will be Temeya. Wouldn't be very nice of her to do a kinuach at that point. But anyway, the point being that how do we even know that that's true? And he says, Tzarchian. So, the Chassam Sofer addresses this question and he says, you see from here a riot to the Noda Behuda, who holds that you don't need chorin v'stakin k'shi omedes. You only need, why? Because then you're helped by gravity. And he said, hachma yiskinan, that she did the kinuach while standing. And we don't paskin like that. Noda bihuda. So what does this tell us? Seems to me that this tells us is a very interesting thing. Again, Rav Kivegar didn't answer this. He leaves off with the Tzarchian. But what it seems to me is that this tells us that a kinuach, though it's not necessarily definitive, but it still tells us something significant. And that might be why for Taros you don't need to do a bedika, schar v'stakin, a kinuach is enough. Now what the difference is, we'll talk about when we get there, is it that the schar v'stakin give you a period of time, they tell you what you were before, or the like, we'll get to the details. But what you see from here is a very important yesod, which we'll have to remember for when we get to it, which is l'chora, that a kinuach is not a nothing. It's a halachically significant form of bedika. It's not good enough for a lot of things. Like we paskin, it's not good enough for hafsek tara, not good enough for shivanikim, but it's also not a zero. And we'll see that there might be some significance to that halachically if it's true. The Rashba, by the way, sounds like over here you do need a bedika gemura, but it could be that's the Rashba l'shitasa, who holds a kinuach as a zero. So, yes, Shmuel.
I'm missing something. You say if a woman sees a re'iyah mamish, in the case where they borrow the same chalukah, and my chaz is obliterated and we told on her, even though the re'iyah could be...
What do you mean? Wait, what did I say that?
That was the diak, and we saw in chalukah, kesem, and I asked Rabbi if that would mean that if she sees a re'iyah mamish, a real re'iyah, then we would say we're told on her.
But not afterwards, during.
It could be a day, a whole 3 days, I don't know. She saw a re'iyah, she's wearing the chalukah.
Yeah, no, that's the point.
Why is it different?
If she wears a chalukah, and then she had a re'iyah, and there's also a kesem, so we'll say that kesem on the chalukah came from her. But if she took off the chalukah, and a day later has a re'iyah, then it won't help. Her friend will also be tamei.
She should be, what Lashem was, Mitzuyim.
Dami Mitzuyim La.
Yeah, so once she sees her, when she does a bedika where she's Tamea, she's Dami Mitzuyim La.
Yeah, but that's going forward. So let's say she does a bedika, but she waits a second. She takes off the chaluka, or discovers the kesem. We'll talk about that later, but for now we're going to focus on the discovery of the kesem. She discovers the kesem, and then 5 minutes later does the bedika. So at least the opinion of Rav Rishonim is that's going to be absolutely meaningless. Why? Because that's true, that mikanu l'haba, she's a nida, but what I need to know about is whether she was a nida 5 minutes ago. And dami mitzuyin la doesn't help, right?
No, he starts from...
The case where we said dami mitzuyin la last year was a situation of a woman who had dam besulim. So what does that mean, right? She has bias mitzvah on Sunday night, okay? And then... she wears a garment on Monday, and her friend wears a garment on Tuesday, and then we discover the kesem. So at the time she was wearing the garment, dami mitzuyin la. Why? Because in the days after dam besulim, however long that is, dami mar mitzuyin la. So while when the kesem was discovered, she was already in a situation of dami mitzuyin la. Here, we don't know that. The kesem was discovered, and then she did the bedika. So we want to go l'mafreya. So the opinion of, again, most of Rishonim says you want to go backwards, can't go backwards. It's only if, immediately upon discovery of the kesem, you do the kinuach, and that's a chiddush. Then we say, if as soon as you discover the kesem, you do the kinuach, then we'll say, well, that kesem is also probably from you. But if you wait a couple minutes, then that's too late.
Even though we do paskin that in keto, whichever one is closer, we would say to Mumafreya.
Oh, so that's what the Rush said according to the Sidrei Tara. That's against most of the Rishonim. But that might be the logic of the Rush, right? That's what the Sidrei Tara understands. The Rush is exactly making that point. Well, since sometimes we do Tumah L'mafreya L'chumra, maybe we could also do it L'kula in the world of Ksamim within 24 hours. So that point is rejected by most of the Rishonim, but that is a possibility. It's not the accepted possibility. Yeah?
The Rashba Kohen Beis Yosef says that Kinuach, that way you could do Kinuach and not Tchor Nistakim.
Yeah. No, I think for a Tahora. Not like the Shulchan Aruch.
And that's not against the Gemara?
No, because the Gemara is going for Tumah.
The Gemara doesn't address it.
The Gemara, right. In other words, it's a different place. The Gemara says like this. Shalosh Nashem, right, V'nimtza Dam Tachas Meim, Badka Achas Meim V'nimtza Stameya, He Tameya V'shteim Toros. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Pusha Badka Atzma B'shir Vasis. Right. And then the Gemara says, Shir Vasis is in Vasis, it would have to be Kinuach, but yeah.
Does the Gemara explicitly discuss the case of Matzah?
Yeah, it does, but differently. So, okay.
And could you just answer Kibra's question by saying it's Eno Dome most ridiculous in the sense that here we're talking about when the dam came out. So now we want to see if this is truly dam that comes out. So Kibra would.
No, the opposite. In other words, Rabbi Kibbeger's kasha is for Tahora.
Right. So I'm saying, so Lui and she was the source of the Tumah, it would taka be on the outside.
No, not true, because it came, you know, whatever came out, and there's still plenty of Dam, Bechor, and Vistaka, and that didn't come out. Right? And the point is, if you think... I think so. If you think Kinuachs don't tell you anything about Chor and Vistaka, so then it shouldn't help. That's his question. I wish you could answer it, but... Right, it's very. His question is very, very intuitive. Okay, Sif Nun Beis. So, here the question that we have to ask is the din the same by Yashua Asafsal and the like? What do I mean to say? We have a Mishnah about the Shalosh Nashim B'mita Achas, and that's where we discuss the Bedika Kashir Vases. And we also had a Mishnah earlier about Shalosh Nashim B'Safsal Achas. And we have the same thing in the Shulchan Aruch. In Sif Nun Aleph, we have the discussion of the Bedika and Bedika Kshir Vasis and the like in the context of Shalosh Nashim Shishemus B'Mita Achas, which is mentioned in Sif Nun. But what about Sif Mem Tes? Shalosh Nashim Shalav Shuchalak Achad. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. So does Sif Nun Aleph basically go back only on Sif Nun, or does it also go back to Sif Mem Tes? Right? And it's also a question on the Gemara. We'll phrase it in terms of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's the same question on the Mishnayos. So this is a big machlokas Rishonim. According to the Rambam, at least as understood by the Magen Mishnah, and this seems to be the opinion of the Tur, and the Pashtus is probably the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll discuss later on, though not so clear, there is no difference. And therefore, even in these cases, she could save her friend. So what does that mean? On Sunday, Sarah wore the dress. On Monday, Rivka wore the dress. On Tuesday, Rachel wore the dress. And then, Rachel, as she's taking off the dress, discovers a kesem. So, obviously, if Rachel did a bedika toch shir veses, of finding the kesem, and she finds herself to be Tameya, then she could save her friends. And if she finds out to be Tahora, she's okay, and her friends are stuck. But, what about... if toch shir veses of finding the kesem, Sarah does a bedika. Remember, Sarah wore it on Sunday. The kesem is found when? Tuesday. Sarah, you know, Rachel's taking off the dress. Ah, kesem! Immediately, Sarah is very quick. Toch shir veses, she does a kinuach, and it's good or bad. So can she now save Rachel and Rivka? That's the question. So the Rambam seems to say, she can't. It doesn't matter. These rules of Bedikos work in all the scenarios. In Chaluka, in Safsal, in Mita, it's all the same. And this is very strange. Why? Because it's been 2 days since Sarah wore the dress. The whole idea, seemingly, of doing the Bedika Shir Veses, where we say seconds count, milliseconds count, right? The whole idea is that if Rachel waits 5 seconds after discovering the kesem before doing the bedika, we say the bedika doesn't help. Because just because Rachel's Tameya now, who says she was Tmei then? So in the case of Mita, it's fine. In the case of Mita, all three of them are on the bed. They discover the Kesem while on the bed. So she does a Bedika, Toshir Vases, we're Mekel. But here, it's been 2 days since she wore this. So let's say she does, Sarah does the Bedika, Toshir Vases, and it comes out bad. So that's going to tell me that she was, you know, we'll be able to attribute the Kesem that to her, that she was wearing on the garment she was wearing 2 days ago on Sunday. That doesn't seem to make any sense, right? The whole premise here is that we're not willing to go backwards. We don't say, when Rachel waits 5 seconds before doing the Bedika, we say, oh, it's too late. Yeah, she's Tamea now, but who says she was Tamea 10 seconds ago? So why is it that the Rambam would tell us that if she does the Bedika now, Sarah does the Bedika now, that's good enough? That's the obvious problem with the Rambam. So, the answer is, just 1 second, L'chora, many of the Achronim say it, among them, take a look at the Chavustas of Katan Lamed Vav, each of the Achronim give a different nusach to it, but I think the basic idea is like this, that the idea of doing this Bedika is that, like we said, that to be mitamei her, to save her friends, we need to be mitamei her l'mafraya. But ultimately, this is an idea of tol and hakilkol b'makolkol. And therefore, as long as we do the kinuach, tol shir vases of the mitzias adam, so then it is like we know she was temeya at the time of mitzias hakasem. And as long as we know she was temeya at the time of the mitzias hakasem, even though it's been a while since she wore the clothing, then we'll be able to be tola. Because at the time of Leidas HaSafek, she was already Mikulkeles, as it were. Right? When she does the Kinuach Shir Vases, and it's bad, we say, you know, not only is she Tmeya now, but a couple seconds ago, she was also Tmeya. And that's exactly when we discovered the Kesem, a couple seconds ago. So, we could say Tolan HaKilkol B'Mikulkel. Now again, this is an application of Tolan HaKilkol B'Mikulkel, which is not... which is more rooted in halacha, in chazakos, than in mitzias. The point is very simple. As long as she was mekukol at the moment of the discovery of the kesem, so then we say, tolan akilkol b'mekukol. So, if Sarah does the bedika toshir vases of Rachel finding the kesem, so now, at leidas asafek, she was mekukeles, and then we could be tolan her. Good. That's the logic here. Now, most Rishonim disagree with this. Ravid, Ramban, Rashba all say, no, that we're not such a, they're not, not such a lamdish upshot. You need Shir Vases of discovery of the Kesem, but that only works for the case where would only work for Rachel, right? Sarah or Rivka doing the Bedika will not help at all. Sort of what we'd intuitively assume. Now, it's sort of interesting because even if she does do the Bedika Toch Shir Vases, but maybe there was still a lot of time from the formation of the Kesem to the time she did the Bedika, right? Maybe this Kesem is 5 hours old. Now, according to the Rambam, it's no problem because all we care about is Leidas HaSafek. Right? This brings us back to Yerideya. It's too bad Hoodie isn't here. Leidas HaSafek. So,
he was bringing this Zariah last year.
He did? Ah, I didn't remember. Very good. Good. See, I didn't appreciate his amkus. I'll have to tell him. So, the Chavos Das, Sivkat Lamed Vav, says, you have to say, Danu Choshem HaKesem Kilu Ata Nafal B'Shas Metziah. In other words, the logic of the Ravid Ramban Rashba has to be that we make the assumption that this kesem is a fresh kesem. Immediate, you know, you see it, we'll assume it was just created. Why? Presumably because of a cheskas tara, shelah. So, since she has a cheskas tara, we'll assume that this kesem was created at the last possible second in order to allow the bdika to work. Now, if you not the last possible chronological second, because then we should only be metame Rachel, not Sarah and Rivka. But we keep the Cheskas Tara as long as we possibly can, since Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel all have the same Cheskas Tara, so they're all stuck. But if Rachel did the bedika right away, so then we'll say, since her bedika is bad, and the kesem came at the last possible second, so Mimela will attribute the kesem to her. But otherwise, we won't. Yeah?
Isn't that also a valid question about the Mita? Mita also, they've been sleeping for 10 hours in the same bed.
Yeah, it is. In a chanami. It just, it comes to the forefront once they make this point. But you're right, it's the same question. It's the same
why
question.
Why does that have to be so fancy? You don't need to say anything with Chesed Tara first by the Chaluk. You don't need to say anything about the last one.
I'm just saying, once the Ram... I'm presenting it this way because this is the way I thought of it. Like, when I asked the question, not necessarily... Like, Rabbi was saying, we could have asked it earlier, but... The point is like this. Once the Ravid, Ramban, Rashba all said that it's only the Bedikah of the last one that's going to help. So what they're saying, and presumably, you don't follow... The Bedikah has to be Tochshir Vases... of the creation of the kesem, as opposed to the Rambam. The Rambam says the bedikah has to be toch shir veses of the leidas asafek. But once the Rashba, Ramban, Ravid say that the bedikah has to be toch shir veses of the creation of the safek, so how do you know that that's true, right? Maybe this kesem is 5 hours old. And the answer I assume, is because of a chazaka. As why could you assume, why is it that we're willing to assume that since she did the bedika toshir vases, so the kesem was from her, because the kesem was created within the shir vases of the bedika, that's because of the cheskas tara.
It makes it very similar to the Rambam at that point.
Well, that's my point. Yes and no. I mean, it's... But still... Okay, I mean, that's sort of the point that I wanted to say, which is that there is a... When you acknowledge this point, the Rambam and the Ravid aren't that far apart, but they're still very far apart in practice, because for them, in order to be Tola, we need to say that the formation of the Kesem is within the Shir Veses of the Bedika, whereas for the Rambam, it's like a totally different Mahalich. Okay. There is a third Shita, possibly. There are others that understand the Rambam differently. And it's also the Shita of the Baal Mor, that Andinam Shav and the like, but we'll leave that for now. So let's go and chazer the Shitos and say how it comes out. Yeah, okay.
One more question. I think the Chaz Baal himself asks questions.
Uh-huh.
The whole shtick about Tolach HaKol Kol Kol for Bat Kama Tzitzahura. How's that going to be...
No, it's a different svara. It won't be Tola and HaKelkel Vokoko. That's a different point. It's simply that since she...
Let's say not the last one.
Oh, yeah. So that's a very fascinating point. So, okay, I wasn't going to get into that, but you're correct. In other words, if you said that, L'chora, if you hold of the idea that we said from the Chavostas, right, so it's Mistaber if... Badka atzma umatza tameya. I know. I'll tell you a possible answer, but we'll get there. I wasn't going to get into it, but since you brought it up, right? Just to say out Dani's question. Badka atzma umatza tameya. So then that makes a lot of sense. But l'chora that svar doesn't apply to badka atzma umatza tahora, right? So yeah, the svar that we said in the Rambam, exactly, or the Chavos Das says in the Rambam. So that's like Dani said, the Chavos Das says it's tzarchi, and the Pardes Rimonim argues that here too you could say that she's Yoser Mesukenes Mechavroseha because they don't have a Cheskas Tahara as strong as she does. And therefore, it's Mivureres Tvei, and that's good enough. In other words, we're going to look at the relative strengths of their Cheskas Tahara, and we'll say that, you know, just like Tol and Akilkul B'Makulkul, the one with, if you have one woman with a very strong Cheskas Tahara and one woman with a weaker Cheskas Tahara, so we'll attribute it to the one with the weaker Cheskas Tahara, right? They all do, but, you know, just like we check the Erev every week, and so, you know, Rabbi Shechter says we should check the Erev on Friday or earliest Thursday, but on a three-day Yontif, we check it on Wednesday, right? So, you know, they're different. The more mevurer your chazaka is, the stronger it is. Now, usually it doesn't matter. Usually we'll say you have it or you don't. But in this case, where we are willing to say things like tol na kilkul b'makulkul, we just need enough to get over the maichazis, so this will get us over the maichazis. I understand why the chavos doesn't want to say that, but that's what he suggests to answer this question.
One area of halacha with such a chalos, so in that will be told
that
the concept exists. And then
right. So you know, we do sort of have that in certain things, but it's an interesting question, something to think about. Okay. Good. So let's chaz what we have. So we have three shitas, right? We have the Ramban and the Rashbo say, l'maisa, that a bedika only works if it's miyad, and therefore, amda min amita v'lo badka at shematza kasem, or gabe chaluk, the first two ladies, so bedika doesn't work. We have the Rush, who says bedika does work a little afterwards, and we said tzachi and how long the bedika works for the Rush. And then we have the Rambam, who says that really the bedika works as long as it's miyad kshematzu akasem, irrelevant to when the kesem was discovered. So how do we paskin, right? Or again, this goes back to the question I said before, is sif nun aleph that says bedika works, is that also going back on sif mem tes or not? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that only in mita or tola and not b'chalak. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch Rav learned that the Mechaber Paskin, like the Ramban, Ravid, Rashba. And I thought there's a shtickle raya for this, from the fact that in Sif Nun Beis, he repeats the point that Tzrichon Lios Kulan Shaveh, even though he already said it in Mem Tes. Meaning to say, like this, look at Nun Beis, or I guess Mem Tes. Mem Tes by the Shalosh Nashim Yeshenos. So he tells us principle that when is it that they're all tmeos? When they're shavos, right? Fine. And then in Nun Beis, he says the same thing again. Bamedvam amurim kishakulan shavos. Aval achas im achas reuya leros yose mechaverta. So we don't say that. So one of them is a kainer or the like. So let's say the three women in the bed. So if one's a kena, so the zakena will be okay, and the other two are going to be tameos. And we said that earlier. That was mem test, not nun. In mem test, we said the same thing by chaluk. Shalosh nashim were a chaluk, and one of them is a zakena. So the zakena will be okay, and the other two are tameos. Right. So why does he repeat the same thing? So if you learn like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because basically there are two sugyos, right? There's the sugya of Shalosh Nashim Shalav Shuchalak Echad or Safsal Echad, that's Mem Tes. And he said about that Tzrichon Shavos. And then in Aleph, then in Sif Nun, he has a new sugya, Shalosh Nashim Shishemus Benita Achas. About that, we have in Nun Aleph that Bedikos work. And he has to repeat in Nun Beis that they have to be Shavos, because since it's a new topic, even though he already said Shavos in Mem Tes, that was going on the Safsal or Chalo case. But it's not necessarily going on the Mita case, because we know that the halachos of Mita are different. Varaya, Bedika works for Mita, it doesn't work for the other cases. So that would work nicely if you assume the Mechaber is passing like the Ramban, that he repeats the Shavos case. And the Turtaka doesn't repeat the Shavos case. He just says Shavos at the end of everything. Avnei Yosef points that out. But the tour doesn't make that. So it works very nicely like the Shulchan Aruch Rav. But the Sidrei Tara and Rabbi Akiva Eger both say that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like the Rambam, in other words, that even by Chalak were Tolin, like we said, it's Tolin as Machlokas Rishonim. I don't know. Could be that the fact that the Mechaber uses the Lashon of the tour and the Beis Yosef was like that the Torah learns like the Rambam might support that view as well. So maybe the Lashon of the Mechaber supports the notion that he holds like the Rambam. And then you have to ask, why did he bother repeating in Sifna and Beis? And I don't know, just say he's clarifying the point because you might have gotten confused otherwise. But that's an interesting question. Okay. Now, the next question is, are we tola in an isha sheyesh lavesis or ein lavesis? What does that mean to say? So the Gemara says in Zamachem Beis, Tan Rabbanan, Ketza tola zubazu, ubra v'she'ena ubra, tol ubra v'she'ena ubra. Right? So you have two women sleeping in the same bed, or wearing the same chalak, and one of them is pregnant, one isn't, and then we discover a kesem. So since we say certain women are misulakos damim, they're less likely to see a dam, like a pregnant woman, or nursing women, or older women, so then we'll attribute the kesem to the other person. Very good. Or besula, v'she'ena besula tola, besula, v'she'ena besula, besula in this context means besula stamim. Good. So, the Taz and the Shach are medayik, that it's dafka these nashim, but not isha b'shas vesta and shalo b'shas vesta, which is basically a diak on that Tosfos makes on Samach Amud Beis, and a diak is on the fact that the Mishnah didn't mention it. It sounds like a very good diak. The question is why? In other words, it would make a lot of sense to say the following. There were two women that wore a chaluk, or that slept in a bed, and you discover kesem. And for one of them, it's her yomer vesis. And for the other one, let's even say she has a vesis. She has a vesis kavua, and it's not her vesis. It's 10 days before her vesis. So why would we be tola? Why don't we say this is much more likely that it came from the woman who has a vesis. Now you'll say, okay, it has to be halachic category, right? We're not going to say that someone who's 2 days away from her anticipated period versus 10 days from her anticipated period that will be tola in the one that's 2 days from her anticipated period. That's not a halachic category. But vestos are. And especially, this is a kasha for Tosfos, because Tosfos is of the view that an isha sheyesh la vesta, vesis, is misulek es damim shelo b'shas vesta. The nafkamina for tumela mafreya and the like. So she's misulek es damim. So I grant, Tosfos makes a great diuk. The Shach and the Taz, it makes a lot of sense. If the Mishnah really meant you could be tola in the vesis, so it should have said it. Why did it only say ubra menika zakena besula? It should have also said vesis. So it's a great diuk. But the question is, why in the world should it be true? So I thought the answer is because this is a kesem. It's not a re'iyah. A vesis is when we expect you to have a re'iyah. But a kesem is just weird, right? It's not a normal thing to happen. We don't expect a woman with a vesis to see a kesem. We expect her to have a re'iyah. So there's no reason to be tola in the isha sheyesh la vesis more than isha she'en la vesis, because the vesis doesn't predict that this is going to happen. So when it comes to the other examples, like there's a kena, so she's a postmenopausal woman. So you know, the stoma, it's not from her. But when it comes to a kesem, so there's no greater likelihood that an isha, that it's her vesis, is going to see a kesem than if it's not her vesis, because some of them are weird. Some of them aren't normal. They're not what we expect. And that's why it doesn't help for tlios. So she's misulakas from everything. In other words, they're equally a isha sheyesh la vesis during her vesis is equally misulekes miksamim from the isha she'en la vesis, right? With respect to ksamim, they're the same.
Where do we think kesem came from? The car or not from the car? It's not from the car.
It doesn't matter. Dam, the vesis is that you see dam, you have a re'iyas dam. That's the thing. What happened 3 times in a row? She had a re'iyah on this date, on the 5th of the month. So that's what we predict, right? Just like Lamashal. We don't say, just because it's her vesis, that this is dam beharvasha, right? If a woman has a kesem on her day of her vesis, we don't say she's tamea. We say she's, you know, assuming it's, let's say, it's avonim, we'll make her muteris, right? So the vesis doesn't predict this is going to happen. So therefore, it's irrelevant in terms of tlios. Whereas if you're a zakena, so then a zakena is misulekas damim from ksamim and rios. Whereas the other ladies in the bed are not misulakos damim either from ksamim or rios. In the case of the vases, so all three of the women don't expect to see ksamim, and one of them expects sabaria, but they're all the same with respect to ksamim. We can't say with respect to ksamim one is more likely than the other. So then it doesn't matter. It makes sense to be tolling her. Yes.
We're saying chlal.
Yeah.
The canos don't have.
Well, that's the difference. That's a little different. That's sort of the difference between a this misulekas damim of a zakena versus misulekas damim of an isha shiyesh lavesa shelo b'shas vesta. With respect, they're the same with respect to ries dam, according to Tosfos. Right.
Well, that's like a very strange chalak.
It's not a strange chalak because.
Why would we think there's any difference in maka?
It's nothing with maka. Why maka? The point is.
Whatever
an alternative
source of the kesem is, it should presumably be the exact same
suffix
by a woman who's like a
dominant. It's not true. Because we know that women. Ksamim, it is weird. Ksamim are weird, right? That's exactly our answer. But the point is that weird things are much. Ksamim, meaning to say, right, are still. Much less likely to happen to women that are zakenos than not. Now, one second. Now, it's not impossible, right? We say, we actually are metame the ksamim of a zakena. It's not like a tinaikas, but they're still very much less likely. So they're not sufficiently unlikely to say that she's tahora, but they are sufficiently less likely to say, since they're not equal, we're willing to be tolled in one more than the other. All we need here is a lack of equality, right? Is a lack of equality. So if we say it's more likely to have come from one woman than another, that's good enough to be tolled in that one and not the other. So over here, I'll make up numbers. 5% of premenopausal women have ksamim, and 1% of menopausal women have ksamim. So that's good enough to say, well, be tola, and when the three women are in a bed, and one's menopausal and two aren't, that will be tola in them, because the statistics are different, right? So if it was impossible, if it was 0%, so then we wouldn't even make her tamei at all. We would treat her like a tinokas. But it's not 0%, it's 1%. So, but lamaisa, 1% is very different than 5%, even though they're both unlikely. So,
in halakhic terms, it would come out basically a kesem. And that's possible by the case, but not by, let's say.
Well, no, you could say for Rashi or Tosos. If Rashi might say it's because of Dilma Argesha Lavadaita, Tosos would say that the basis for the Tumas Ksamim is because if it's Dam and Amakor, it's Matami the Baghdad, and we don't want to lead to confusion and the like. But that's fine.
If possible, it came from Makor.
Of course.
Really,
yeah.
And that.
The reason for Ksamim are for sure that it came from the Makor, whether you say it's because of Argesha Lavadaita or the confusion about Taharos or whatever.
And for that, we're going to say that Isha Shlubachas Vesta.
Correct.
Is different.
Right. If you wanted to put it scientifically, it's very easy, right? A postmenopausal woman does not have, I guess your wife if I'm saying this right, but she doesn't have Dam, right, in her Makor. I mean, she has Dam, but it's not.
Production.
Right. And a woman Shlubachas Vesta does. So it's building up, it's getting more and more and more until she finally menstruates. But it's there. So funny things like samim could happen to her. Unlikely, but they can. It's much less likely for that funny thing to happen to the zakena. Possible also. Right? And muberis also, there's nothing in her lining. It's empty, it's clean. It looks like if you take a ultrasound of a woman who's nursing, who's like really stark nursing, in other words, it's doing the job, like in the Chazal's day, it looks like, the ultrasound will look like a menopausal woman. It's just not there, the lining. So that's the point.
Just,
okay.
We're not assuming that some come from external sources of doubt. That's what they said.
No, if they did, then they would be toros. The whole, but that's obvious. The reason why ksamim are asuros, midirabanan, true, but the reason for takanas chachamim is because we're concerned this is dam in a makor. Or according to Rashi, maybe dam in a makor behargasha. It's not a chash midirais, it's a chash midirabanan, but of course. If you thought damim, if you thought a kasem came from the butcher, then she would be taira. Right? The gzeiras ksamim. Then we have a tliya, so then we taka, she's muteris, right? We're talking here where there's no tliya. Otherwise, they're all great shape. If one of the women had a tliya, then we're set. Right? Tongue here, where there's no tliya. So the reason why it's tamei is because, of course, we think it's damei. Okay. We got to move. It hasn't been a half hour yet, remarkably. Okay. Okay. So, another issue, we're very halachic people here. We follow halachic time. So the Shulchan Aruch says over here, Hayushlashtan Arumos Vishokhos Al Hamita. Oh Yoshvos Al Asas Lakachas Vinimtadam Takhasach Mehan, Avil Takhasam Tsais, Kevan Shekol Achas Makeres Mekoma, Osa Shetomar Bari Li, Shelo Basi Lamakum Shinim Tadam Taiva. Right, so three women on a bench, and the Kesem is found in the middle. So, generally speaking, we're concerned that at least one seat over, people move to the seat next to them. They bounce around a little bit. But if she says, I know for sure, I sat in this spot and I did not sit here. So, great, we trust her, and she's going to be in good shape. So the Taz says, I don't understand. Why? Because we say in Choshen Mishpat, that Amar lo mani hil visicha b'tzad amud ploni eshivu lo avarti b'tzad amud ploni me'olam uvo edim sha'aver b'tzido ava lo ra'ushel hilvehu lo hochzer kafran d'mil sedol ram yalei d'inish amar v'lav adayte. Right? So if I say I never sat in this chair, right? And an edim come and say, yesterday I sat in that chair. What's the halach? I'm not hochzer kafran. Why? Because it's very easy to say statements in error, because who cares what chair you happen to sit in? Milsa de lava daite. Hachanami, she should say the same thing, right? She says, I did not sit in this spot. Okay? So, but she didn't pay attention, right? There's no halachic significance at that point that she was aware of where you sit. So therefore, why do we accept her? So that's his question. So he answers, after different possibilities, his conclusion is, v'nero l'tareitz, d'shani hacha, kevin d'samoch l'shchivasa nimtza dam, u'izman katzar kazeh, shapir yodas im nechnisa l'makom chaverta, kevan du davar she'enu ragil tzas. So he basically puts two conditions. The only time she'll be nemenes is if, number one, if it's man katzar, right? You know, she wouldn't be nemenes to say, I don't know, 5 hours ago I wasn't in this spot, but if it's zman katzar. And second of all, it has to be eino ragil. In other words, it's like a little strange to like go into your friend's seat, right? Why would you bump her over and go into her seat? That's the Taz's theory. Now, the Tshach over here disagrees. And the Tshach says, when do we say milsevil ramia? That's when there's no halachic implication to her statement. Or his statement, like, lo avarti al tzad makom ploni. Right? There's no halachic significance to that. But when it's halachically significant, or possibly halachically significant, even though at the time they did not know it was yet halachically significant, then we don't say that. There's no nafkamina. Here, there's a possible nafkamina. So if she says bari, so then we say, yeah, she was aware. She always knows, every woman knows, that where you sit could possibly have halachic consequences if a kesem is discovered subsequently. And therefore, she says bari li, and there's the possibility of halachic significance, even if it's much later, even if it's ragil, it doesn't matter. L'chorah the taz is l'shitaso that we saw earlier, sifkat an lamid, that min astam, if she was bodekas the chaluk, after she wore it, But there was no halachic significance of that bedika because she didn't check it before she wore it. She's also not believed. Right? And this is also machlokas elsewhere. The Yoredeya guys remember from last year in Simen Tzadi Dalid, Sif Zayin, between the Shach and the Marshal / Taz. The Marshal over there said that you're not Neman to say how far in the knife went. Right? Let's say I'm cutting, cutting a piece of cheese with my Fleischig knife. But I say that it only, I only used the first 50% of the knife. It didn't go further, and that's relevant for calculating shishim or other issues. So the Marshal says you have no credibility because milsat al-ramya, right? At the time you're cutting your cheese, you were not aware that this was a fleishig knife. Otherwise, you wouldn't have cut your cheese. So there's no halachic significance that you were aware of at the time, and therefore it's milsat al-ramya. And the Shach says no. And this is the opinion of the Mechaber and the Rama over there, that you do have credibility over there because after all, it could have halachic significance. Now, this type of shaila comes up all the time. Now, there's a lot of times a person asks a Rav a shaila and he starts asking them questions. How far in did you dip this spoon? When you had to go to the bathroom, did you really have to go to the bathroom or not? Right, for Adam the Meraglim, let's say. Or all sorts of questions. We ask these. And in the event, so what's the significance? Do we say there's credibility? And even within the Shach's view, it's not so clear what would be if there is halachic significance, but the person wasn't aware of the halachic significance. In other words, they never learned Yoredeya, so they don't know that it makes a difference how far in you dip the spoon, or whether you really have to go to the bathroom or not, or all sorts of things. The Nod Rehuda claims, the Tshuva Nod Rehuda, it's Tanyana Yoredeya Simen Tazayin that talks about this a lot. He claims that the Shach would be, say, you're credible even if there's no immediate nafkamina, because you're aware that there might eventually be a nafkamina. But if you're unaware that there would ever be halachic significance to this particular activity, so then there is no ne'am on this, according to the Shach. So, as I... What? The Nod Rehuda. Okay. Asif Nun Dalid. So, all right, almost there. So the Shulchan Aruch says that kismei eid are kiriya l'kvoa v'eses. So what does that mean? So first of all, it's very interesting that we talk about kismei eid habaduk. Because usually we think of eid habaduk as not ksamim, right? But they are ksamim in a certain sense. They're not like a normal ri'iya because she doesn't have a hargasha that she's aware of at the time that the dam comes. Meaning, say, she might have had hargasha, and doesn't know if it's hargasha's eid or the like. But it is interesting that we call them kismei eid habaduk. But anyway, they are kovei avesis. So what would that mean? Let's say a woman does a bedika on the fifth of the month, and she sees on an eid habaduk, and she sees dam, and then next month she would also, and then the next month on the fifth of the month, and the next month on the fifth of the month, she does that. So now she would be kovas veses. That's the halacha. Now, when you read the Shulchan Aruch, I would have said the same thing is true for veses sheino kavua, meaning to say that a woman does a bedika and it's bad, then she becomes a sura, and the next month she has to be choshes for the same thing, right? Let's imagine, usually you don't do bedikos when you're a Torah, but let's say it's her vesis. Let's say it's her own abenonis, right? So she does a bedika on her own abenonis. She flops the bedika. So the next month, 30 days from then, she'll have to be choshesh for enobenonis and the chodesh and the like. That's what I would have thought from the Shulchan Aruch. But the Achronim all point out the Darkei Tshuva, the Badi Shulchan, the Sheder Alevi, Rabbi Forrest, all say that no, that's not true. This halacha that kismei eid habaduk create a vesis is only for vesis kavua. Like in my first example, But it wouldn't create vesesheinu kavua. Now, in theory, that would mean that if she, you know, so a woman goes ahead and she does a bedika, like we said, on her own abenonis, and she flops the bedika, but she doesn't actually have a riya then. So she says, you know, what's my halacha for vestos? So in theory, we'll say to her, oh, you have nothing to worry about. Now, technically, she should mark it down, because it might create a vestos kavua, but the poskim say that that's so unlikely, you don't have to worry about it. So basically, for vestos, you could ignore that. As we'll see nowadays, women very rarely have a vestos kavua. Now the question is, what's a raya? So I thought there's actually a raya from the Lashon of the Ravid, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef over here. But what's the reason to be mechalek? So I thought the reason is the exact same thing as we said before, which is it's not normal to just see a little bit of blood, right? What happened to this woman? She did a bedika. That's pretty annoying. But then she found a speck of blood, right? So she becomes a surah. But that's not a normal riya. And we're only choshish for vestos when this is a normal thing, and therefore we expect it to happen again. So if it happens three times, we have no choice but to say, okay, this is normal for her. This is the new normal, and we have to be choshish. But if it happens once, we don't have to say, just because this happened this time, it might happen again. This is just weird, right? This is a fluke. Flukes don't create vestos unless they happen enough times. So one of the things we'll see when we start learning vestos is, even within the laws of vestos, the more flukish a thing is, the longer or higher our bar for creating vestos. So the answer is, a kiss me eda baduk is a fluke, right? This is very strange. It's so strange that you don't have to be worried about vestos. Once a pattern develops of this strange thing, so it's not so strange apparently, or it's normal for her. But until then, you don't have to worry. Now, it's sort of interesting that we even say kisme eda baduk are kiriya in this case. You see, if you said that, like the Rambam, that kisme eda baduk are, you know, b'cheska sheba b'hargasha, so then I understand why they would create a vesses, like the Shulchan Aruch says. But let's say you assume, like the Trumas Hadeshen that we talked about at the beginning, that's just a suffix. So maybe it shouldn't create a vesses. Maybe we should, you know, how could vestos are kulas, beskavua. They're also a chumrah. But they're cool. You don't have to worry about other vestos, for example. But if you look in the halachos of vestos, I think we'll see that we primarily look at a vestos as a chumrah, not a kula. Even though they're kulas and chumras, it's seen as a chumrah. And that being the case, so that's why, even according to the term sedation, we could say that it creates a vestos, even though it'll come out kulas and chumras. Now, a very interesting question that relates to this is the following shaila. What happens if a woman tends to see ksamim before her ri'iyah? Right? That's her pattern. She starts staining the day before she begins menstruating. So this is a shayla in terms of creating a vesis haguf, which we'll discuss when we do vestos. But the question that's relevant over here is, when should she calculate her vesis from? Now again, those summon that she sees will not make her a surah. Again, we'll talk about later why, generally speaking, the post can recommend that any time you see a kesem, you abstain for 24 hours. But she doesn't become a surah from seeing those ksamim. That's true. But would they create a veses? Or when do we calculate her veses from? So the pashup shot is they're irrelevant with respect to vestos. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, ksamim are irrelevant when it comes to vestos. Rav Moshe here, though, has a very interesting chiddush. Rav Moshe writes, there's two tshuvos about this, which I sent to you. I'm going to read the shorter second one. But he writes that, of course, the ikar vases is mizman sheba adam behargasha. But if the derech is that in a day before her ri'iyah behargasha comes, she sees ksamim, igloi milsa dechein hu psichas hamekor shela, tipin tipin tchila, v'achar kach ba shefa. In other words, what's the reason why ksamim aren't kovei vases? Because we don't really think that they're from her, or we don't really think that they are a ri'iya. We don't really think there's psichas hamakor. But over here, what's going on? Obviously, Rav Moshe says, what's happening is she starts slowly, right? That's her derech. She starts slowly. So when is the psicha samakor shela? Obviously, when those ksamim started. And therefore, when should she be kovas v'ases? From that time. So that's Rav Moshe's chiddush. Many poskim disagree with this, including Rav Shevet Halevi and the like. And Rabbi Willig also disagrees. Rabbi Willig's lashon is always follow the flow. Right? For Rabine Vestos, we always follow the flow. So even though she spots beforehand, follow the flow. Even Rav Moshe says if she spots more than 24 hours before that, we won't count that. Finally, the very last topic we're going to have is the discussion in the Tshuvas HaRama quoted by the Taz. So we're going to try to do this very quickly because it's very important. So the Tshuvas HaRama says, it was asked by the following question. A woman who had tlios all over the place. She had scabs and scars and who knows what. And she sees a kesem, so obviously she should be muteris, right? Except that in this kesem is half red and half green. Now, her scabs, don't release green stuff. So it's nira le'ayin that this is one kesem. It's not possible that it came from the scab. So we have no choice, the Rama says, but to make her asura. That's chiddush number one. Now the Rama's talking about a case where it's bigger than a gris, but she has a tliya, but it looks like one thing. And that point the Taz accepts. Then the Rama says something that is very questionable. He says, and even if you're mesupik, if I call kasem echad, you should be machmir. And he brings a bunch of rayos why he thinks this is true. If we had time, we would go through the rayos, but we don't. But he brings rayos that he thinks this is true, and the Taz goes through piece by piece, takes apart his rayos, and he says, it's not true. Because once she has a tliya, we don't know it's a single kasem, so then you could be told down on the tliya, and she would be mutaris. Adkan. Now, if you look at the Gilead Marsha over here, he writes that you see that this Taz disagrees with the Miel Tzedakah. Remember the Miel Tzedakah we had before. The Miel Tzedakah says, let's say you have, and there are two variations of the Miel Tzedakah. One variation of the Miel Tzedakah is, I think, the one we discussed, which is you have a single kesem, which is partially on Tzavua, partially not on Tzavua. Each part that's on white is less than a gris, but it's united by the part that's on the tzavua, or also a similar type of shayla, and this is a very common shayla actually, which is you have a kesem, and let's say the right side is red, then there's a bunch of brownish stuff, and then the left side is red. Each of the red parts is less than a gris, but they're united. So the Miel Tzedakah says that if the reds are less than a gris, or mako, even though the kasem itself is bigger than a gris. The chavus das,
even if you combine
the reds? Even though if you combine the reds, no, if you combine the reds, it's a problem. But if the reds are less than a gris, you're okay. That's the Miel Tzedakah's opinion. The chavus das says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because lamaisa, we know this isn't macholas. Good. We talked about that before. Maybe the Miel Tzedakah is a tliya, the chavus das is, the Miel Tzedakah is a shir, the chavus das is tliya, fine. So the Gilead Marsha says, oh, you see the Taz is against the Miel Tzedakah. So this is very perplexing, because the Taz and the Rama were talking about a case where then it's more than a gris, right? And Miel Tzedakah is makel when it's less than a gris. But the question, which is presumably bothering him, is Maishna, meaning to say, we should come out like, you know, once you're going to say that it's mitzaref them, when it's nerek achas, that it's a kesem echad. Why? Since it looks like one, we don't really have a tliya anymore. If we don't have a tliya anymore, we should go ahead and follow the chavos das. But that's not actually what the Taz says. So the Taz is consistent, and in fact, the Miel Tzedakah claims the Taz is in his camp, and the Rama is in his camp, as does the chavos das. But one ha'ara, this will have to be the last ha'ara, the simon, which is within the Miel Tzedakah. So we said before, that the Miel Tzedakah, based off of this Rama, says if it's near a kesem echad, right, it's red on the right, red on the left, each one is less than a gris, together they're more than a gris, but it's near a kesem echad, you have to be machmir. But the Rama only said that when it's near a la'ayin, that it's kesem echad. So what that means practically, and this is very common, is when you look at ksamim, they don't always look like it's near a kachas kesem echad. Like there are different circles and splotches and this and that. And you only have to be machmir. The Miel Tzedakah doesn't say this explicitly, though it makes sense from the Tshuvas HaRamah that he's quoting, and some of the contemporary poskim do say this explicitly, the Mishmar Satara and Rav Elyashiv and the like, that it's only when it's Nir al-Ayin that it's Kekesem Echad. So if this looks like Tuksamim, like you have the red parts this is red and this is red. So each one is 3/4 of a gris. So in this case, the brown won't be mitzdarif them because it doesn't look like a kesem echad. It looks like shteik samim, right? And in that, it's only in the case where it's nir la'ayin that it's kekesem echad, like this, that will say the brown is mitzdarif these two things. But in this case, where it looks like tuk samim, and this is very common, then it won't be. So applying this milt staka lemaisa, which is based off of this Tshuvas HaRamah quoted by the Taz, is sometimes difficult to apply, because you have to figure out not just if they're joined by the brown, but are they joined by the brown, and this is this nira kekesem echad or not. So Hadron Alachim and Kuf Tzadi, and Bezus and Hamtamar Kuf Tzadi Aleph. I think the poskim accept the Mil Tzedaka. We're Mako, like the Mil Tzedaka, against the Chavos Das. So as I mentioned, the Balatanya, the Tzedek Tzedek and the Medayik from the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that he's even more Mako than Mil Tzedaka. But that we don't accept.